Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change? Everyone, I am Dr. Tommy Watson, and welcome to another episode of Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from adversity and failure to go and live their best lives on purpose. Today's show is being sponsored by Million Dollar Business Pathway. We believe everyone has a story to sell and to tell. If you want to learn how to tell and say your story, go to tawatson.com under the programs and product page and click on Million Dollar Business Pathway to get yourself started. So, folks, are you guys ready for another amazing show today? Joining me, I have the one and only Mr. Jay Brook.
Thank you.
Houston, Texas, one of my favorite cities to visit in the world there. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you. And you, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's a pleasure to have you with us. Hey, for the audience members who may not necessarily know who you are, why don't you tell them who you are briefly and how they can follow you?
I am Jerry Brook, and I am the Good Together Guru. I'm a relationship coach. I'm a speaker. I'm an author. I have a book, A Journey Through Relationships. And I've just recently released an app, The Good Together Game, aimed at helping people in their relationships. It's available on the App Store and Google. I have a website, goodtogether.com. It's one word. And I can also be seen on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter as the Good Together Guru.
Awesome, Jerry. So, folks, Jerry's made it very, very easy for you to follow him, pick up the book. Many of us struggled or have bounced back or maybe involved in a failed relationship. So the information is very timely and very needed universally as well. So, Jerry, as you know, our podcast really focuses on bringing amazing people like you on and having you talk about how you bounce back from one of your most difficult moments. I know that with peace on relationships has been a piece that's kind of just really stood out in your life. We have a lot of audience members out there, even myself, who we've all encountered failed relationships and, you know, want to know how we bounce back from that. So let's start. Talk to us a little about the failed relationships you've had to encounter.
Well, okay. So first off, I'd like to say, you know, I wish I overcame my problem with relationships, but, it's an ongoing struggle. That's not something that, you know, it's I wouldn't want people to think that you reach a point where you're done and you can move on. It's a daily struggle and it continues with you and you learn how to deal with it.
Absolutely.
So for me, I'll be honest. I mean, even as young, I had difficulty with relationships, just connecting with people. I always felt, you know, odd and an outsider. And I always questioned myself. You know, did I say the right thing? Did I act the right way? Was, you know, what was going on? Well, that followed me into adulthood, of course. And as a young man, I got married too soon, I will say. And neither of us knew what we were doing. And so that relationship was pretty much destined to fail.
Sure.
Now, what happens when you have a failed relationship is it actually makes matters worse. Because then you start to feel bad about yourself. Now here's a fallacy I'll throw in there is people have this idea that we learn from our mistakes.
Sure.
Well, we don't. Not if you don't have guidance.
Yes.
You see, the only thing I learned was that I had a bad relationship and I learned not to be married to this person anymore. But that doesn't help me. It certainly did not help me in every future relationship. So I went from relationship to relationship. Here, let me tell you a little bit about myself. I'm a technical person. I'm the guy that when I put IKEA furniture together, I read the instructions, lay out all the parts and pieces, get out all the tools before I do the first bit of work.
Wow.
So I listen to people. I understand that I don't know everything. So in every one of my relationships, what would I do? Well, I would ask friends and family for advice. Mm-hmm. What's going on? I went so far as I'm the guy I would buy books and read books who were written by, you know, supposed experts on relationships. But you know what? Every relationship failed.
Yeah.
So I've had to question, I felt, what is wrong with me? I mean, here I am. I'm actually following instructions. Am I that stupid that I can't follow instructions? Well, no, I'm technical. I know I work with computers. I follow instructions very well. It can't be that. So suddenly I thought, oh my gosh, there is something really wrong with me as a person, as an individual. And I just felt I couldn't go on, you know, putting myself in these positions. And like I say, with each failed relationship, you feel worse about yourself, not better. And so I just reached the point, I said, that's it. I give up.
Yeah.
I just can't. I can't be in relationships. I'm going to be that guy who, lives alone and has a bunch of cats and dogs. And that's going to be my life, I guess.
And Jerry, you know what? I want to just say thank you so much for being transparent and honest about this part of your story, because there are many people who don't open up about failed relationships and aren't being really transparent about it, you know? So your honesty is so much appreciated as well, though, you know? And let me ask you this. You know, we hear people, and we've all experienced going from failed relationships to relationships, relationships. Talk to us about some of the feelings that, because oftentimes we may not even sit back and take the time to think about the feelings and emotions that we deal with from failed relationships. We go into those other relationships, those same emotions and feelings not resolved, and they create additional issues. Talk to us about some of the feelings that you had to endure.
Well, that's a great question, because that exactly, well, you know, I think that one of the things, like say, for me, you start with, you know, is there something wrong with me? And that's your first defense mechanism. Well, then you start to feel a little, you know, obstinate. You're like, no, there must be something wrong with them.
Sure.
And so you have these feelings of there is something wrong, no question about it. Is it you? Is it them? There's all the questions of what could I or should I have done different? And then you start, you know, again, about them. It's like, what should have they done differently?
Right.
And you have this back and forth, or at least I did, honestly. I had this back and forth where I couldn't decide who was at fault, because here you are trying to place blame, because that's the kind of the world we live in. So I'll tell you, I actually found out that those feelings are all wrong, or at least I feel in relationships. So when I gave up relationships, I decided to focus on work.
Sure.
And like I said, I work with computers. And so I was learning about artificial intelligence. And so I had to ask myself, okay, what does it mean to be intelligent? We toss that around so much. It's like, yeah, but what does it mean to be intelligent? Okay. So I found, okay, well, it's proper decision-making. Okay. What does that mean? So I started looking into that, and I started finding there are techniques of decision-making. But what I realized, I mean, it was as if the clouds parted and the sky opened up.
Uh-huh.
I realized I was making all the wrong decisions in my relationship. In computers, we have this saying, garbage in, garbage out.
Sure.
And that's exactly what I was doing. I had garbage information coming in. And it dawned on me. So I started to realize, I said, you know, all this advice that I've been taking from these people, where have they been getting it from? How do they know that? Why have I been asking them? Why was I not making my own decisions for me?
Right.
And then I actually did. I started to look at the people that I had been in relationships with. Mm-hmm. And I stopped blaming them, because I said, oh my gosh, they're no more to blame than I am. We've been victimized, or victims of bad information.
Sure.
I've been following bad advice. Surely they've been following bad advice. We had no possible outcome other than a bad relationship. And so I did start to forgive myself.
Absolutely.
For the things that I had done, but also really, more importantly, I think forgiving the people in my relationships and not blaming them and saying, ah, you know what? I don't know that it could have gone any differently because of, you know, the bad advice and bad information that we're getting.
Right.
And so that's when I sat back and I really started to take apart, deconstruct my relationships.
Right.
And I sat back and I started going through, okay, let me think what happened here and what happened there. And again, what could I have done differently knowing now the new information that I had been studying? I really made it a point to find out, to study human behavior. Yes. From the actual experts, actual psychiatrists and psychologists, and say, oh my gosh, you know, the things that we're passing off as advice is really horrific and damaging in some ways, the way we talk to people. We make it so simple, you know, oh, just do this. It's like, sure. I wish, you know,
right.
But so, so I started to write down in my notes, reading all of these books and all these information. And I start to really put everything together from all of these different facets and these different experts. Mm-hmm. So here's the funny part. I'm an author who is not an author. I actually chuckle when I, you know, say that, or when people say, oh, you wrote a book, you're an author. No, I'm not. I never in a million years imagined that I would be writing a book, and surely not about relationships. Who am I to speak on relationships?
Right.
But what happened is I took all these notes that I'd written, and I was talking to a friend of mine, and she looked at it and she just laughed. She said, Jerry, you've got enough here for two books. You've got so many notes.
Wow.
And as we talked, she said, you know, these notes can help other people.
Sure.
I've written them to help me. Yeah. to lay out, you know, okay, what I had done wrong so I would know what to do right in the future. And because that's the other thing. It's easy enough to find out, yes, I did this wrong. Like I say, that's where people think that failure is okay.
Sure.
Yeah, it's easy to figure out what you did wrong. You know, I can tell you that 2 + 2 does not equal 5,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't mean that it doesn't equal 16 or 89. I've gotten you no closer to 4.
Right, absolutely.
If I didn't give you the guidance that you really need, I haven't helped you.
Yeah.
And so we talked about it and she said, Jerry, you have a book here.
Wow.
So that's where the book came about. It's like, say, I chuckle when at the thought of I'm an author, because I'm not. I didn't write a book.
Right.
I wrote a bunch of notes about my failed relationships in my life and then what I had put together to learn to help me. And I thought, oh my gosh, yeah, I guess other people might be able to read this and learn from this. How wonderful. Which is actually why I'm a relationship coach.
Yes.
You know, the funniest thing is, yes, I took all that and I said, I really want to help people. And cut through all of what I call conventional wisdom, the UMB, because it's so simplistic, it's so silly that it's really not helpful. And that's why I look at people and I say, there's no wonder you have bad relationships, because yes, garbage in, garbage out. You're getting bad advice, and there needs to be better information out there to help people.
Absolutely. You know, so Jerry, as you started doing your research, what was one piece of advice or piece of information that you got that ended up being the game changer for you? Was there a piece of information that you came across? There was one thing that you really came across that, like, that's profound when it came to relationships?
It's one of those things where, yeah, I wouldn't say there again that like I stumbled upon something. It's been a slow progress.
Uh-huh.
Where I've come up with it. At first, and I'll be honest, I went through stages. In the beginning, the more I started to learn about relationships and I saw the complexity, that kind of question really frustrated me.
Sure.
Because I felt, you know, this is so complex. It would be almost like asking, what's the one thing I can learn about math that's going to teach me calculus and from A to Z?
Sure.
Well, obviously it's a complex, you know, endeavor. And so there's a lot going on there. However, and I will just recently, within the last couple of months, I have come to the conclusion that I do feel there is something, this one thing, that is really very important in all aspects of our lives, really. And I would say that is consistency.
Yeah.
You need to be consistent with yourself and with others. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is treat the people who you don't see eye to eye with the same as the people you do see eye to eye with. It's very easy to agree with someone who agrees with you.
Sure.
It's very difficult to be civil to someone who doesn't agree with you. But if you have that consistency in you, and what that consistency is actually is having values more important than people.
Yeah.
You know, I have certain values that I embrace, and regardless of whether you're my friend or my foe, I will use those values and I will treat you consistently and I will act consistently. That way it's also a basis of trust.
Sure.
People look at me and it's really funny to me, but they're like, Jerry, you know, I can take your words to the bank. There are some people who I will make a comment and people will get very serious and say, oh my gosh, Jerry, are you going to do that? And I'm like, wait, just because I say something. And they're like, no, that's who you are. You are that consistent. Wow. That when you say something, you mean it. And when you mean it, you do it.
Wow.
And I realized, like, yeah, most people aren't consistent.
Right.
They don't mean what they say and they don't say what they mean.
Yes.
And I think above all, if you're consistent with yourself and with others, that is actually the most important thing in relationships. So it's funny how I started out thinking I didn't like that question. To actually coming to grips with, you know, I really do believe there is something very important.
That's pretty profound, because that consistency plays a role in everything we do. If we're consistent in relationships or whatever it may be, it produces a pretty good results as well, though. You know, so as you look back today, Jerry, and you look back and you think about your most difficult relationship, your toughest relationship. You know, when you endure that, what kept you fighting to say, hey, I'm going to try to improve my next relationship versus going off and becoming a monk? You could have said, I'm done with this whole thing. I'm done with the relationship. I'm going to become a monk. You know?
Well, honestly, that I did. That's what I said. That's what I'm telling you. I really said, I'm through with it. I'm over with it. I'm going to be that guy who is a monk. That's a good way to put it. I like your terminology. So I did want to become a monk.
Uh-huh.
But here's the thing. I'm sorry, but I mean, well, I'm not sorry. Relationships. I know that this is going to seem like I'm overstating this, but I believe I'm not. As a living being, we need oxygen to breathe. We need water to drink, and we need food for nutrition. And the next thing in line is we need relationships. We are social animals. No man is an island. We cannot exist in that monk state by ourselves. Even monks have other monks that they associate with.
Yeah,
you know, we joke about what it is to be a monk, but then we don't realize that they have a community. They are in relationships. They're not isolated by any means. Yeah. And so for me, what can I say? I love people.
Yes.
I mean, as much as people frustrated me, as much as relationships were so difficult, I kept looking back and going, yes, but darn it, I just love those people. I love being around them. I love seeing them. I love smiling with them. I love, you know, talking with them and communing with them and sharing with them. That's why I was like, I have to get this right.
Yes.
I have to figure out what to do because I can't live without them.
Yes. That's great. You know, so as you look back today, what do you know today that you would do differently? Knowing what you know today, what would you do differently as you look back over relationships?
That's a really interesting question too, because there again, I don't know that I could have done something differently.
Sure.
And here's the thing, I look at myself and I think, if I went back and talked to myself, mm-hmm. what could I have said to make the stupid me listen? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not saying that people didn't try to reach me.
Sure.
I'm not saying that, you know, no one made an effort. I'm sure people did, but I wasn't listening, and they weren't putting it in terms that I could understand.
Right.
And so I wish there was something I could have done different, but with, yeah, when people say, you know, oh, if I knew then what I knew now,
right.
Yeah, I don't know if it would have gotten through my thick skull, to sure. be honest with you. Sure. I just don't know that I would have accepted it and would have understood it. But now here's the thing. So I do believe that relationships are not being taught. So yeah, I would say that not me, but for everyone. Mm-hmm. As I look back now, when you're born into a relationship, your family. By the time you're five or so, you start to go off to school, you get friends, relationships. When you're a teenager, you experiment with dating, intimate relationships. And then you go off to work, business relationships. And the thing that those all have in common is you.
Sure.
You are in all of those relationships. And you don't put on a different hat. I'm sorry, you just don't look different, you know, right. when you're dealing with different people, because you are who you are at your core. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the things when I was looking at decision-making, I realized we are not taught to make decisions. And that's a big problem. So there again, I spent, you know, 12 years in school learning math. I did calculus in high school.
Sure.
How many days did I spend learning about relationships?
Right.
Not one, because we don't teach people. We expect people to learn by watching others. There again, let's use calculus. Suppose I told you, Tommy, you're going to learn calculus by not me teaching you, by you watching some other guy do calculus.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. By the way, the guy who's doing calculus, he doesn't know calculus. Nobody right. taught him either.
Right. Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. What are you learning?
Yes.
Nothing at all. Okay. Yeah. So we're expected to just watch the world we live in. And honestly, half the world is dysfunctional. So yes, we're learning some good things, but we're learning some bad things, and we can't differentiate between the two. And so I really believe that we need to start teaching people of all ages at this point, since no one has learned, and break that cycle of foolishness and conventional wisdom and bad advice and ignorance about relationships to really help people have, you know, a better life.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with you 110%. There are so many things that our schools should be teaching, especially as a former principal. I definitely sign on for that. You know, so Jerry, you know, we're coming off a tough year. There are people out there who lost loved ones and lost relationships, have broken relationships, lost jobs, lost finances. And in some situations, even Jerry, they've even lost hope. What yeah. words of advice can you give those folks out there listening that a better day is going to come?
Okay, well, now, since I have seen that advice is not the best thing to do, because here's the thing, advice is telling people what to do, and advice is an answer to a question. But here's the thing, those are my answers to my questions, they're not yours. So what I prefer to do is I prefer to ask people questions, the correct questions, not random, not just any question, but to ask people questions that really will bring about a meaningful thought within them. Also, I give people challenges.
Yeah.
So when people lose hope, here's my challenge to you. On my website, I have a blog. It's SEA, Smile, Eyes, Attitude. And I teach people that with your smile and with your eyes and a positive attitude, you will change the world, and the world in turn will change you. It's funny how when I go out and I simply smile and look at people, what I'm doing is I'm acknowledging them. We live in a world where everyone is looking down at their phones or down at the floor, and all they're doing is getting from point A to point B.
Sure.
And they're in a rush, and they're not ever looking around. But when you make eye contact with someone and you smile at them, and basically what you're saying is, I acknowledge you as a person. I see you.
Sure.
You'd be amazed. It's almost like a yawn. It's an automatic reflex where people will automatically smile back. And yeah. when we smile, our body releases hormones, endorphins, that actually make us feel better. So every smile you give someone, you're actually giving them a shot of drugs to make them feel better. without them realizing it.
Yes.
And so I would challenge people to go out. Now, here's the thing. In this day and age, because of the mask situation, that was really cramping my style, although I could look at people. So here, just the other day, I realized, okay, I nod my head and I say hello with a nod. And sure enough, people nod back. Right. And that interaction, it's fleeting. It's momentary. But realize that you've made yourself feel better, because when people smile back at you, again, you're making yourself feel better. You're making them feel better. And you don't realize that that person just walked off. And for the next 10, 15, 20 minutes, they're going to have this rush, this high. So my challenge is, when you go out, no matter how down you feel, if you're able to smile at people, smile and look them in the eye, have a positive attitude. If because of a mask you can't smile, at the very least, look them in the eye and nod your head to acknowledge them there. And when they acknowledge you back, you come back to me and you tell me how that made you feel.
Yes.
And if that doesn't change your hope, I really don't know what will. It will change your hope in humanity to see that people actually are responsive. They're not ignoring you. They just don't know how to communicate with you, and they don't know what to do. And so you need to be the one to make that first move, and you need to know the move to make. Smile, eyes, attitude.
Wow. Great advice, Jerry. I really appreciate that. Folks out there, hope you've been inspired by Jerry's experience, his wisdom. Follow him. Again, Jerry, if people want to get a hold of you and read your book or follow you, what's the best way to do that?
Well, my website is goodtogether.com, one word. But you can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Good Together Guru, where I dispense little words of wisdom, you know, periodically, and try to engage with people.
Awesome. The relationship guru. I love it. Hey, so Jerry, we've talked about some tough stuff. You ready to have a little fun now?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, awesome, awesome. This portion of our show is called our Rapid Fire Purpose Questions. So I'm going to ask you some questions about purpose. I'm not going to elaborate on any of the questions. I want you to give me and your audience, me and the audience, your most concise answer. Are you ready, Jerry?
I'm not a concise person, but I will try and do my best.
Here we go, Jerry. Tell us how you have turned a dream into reality.
A dream into reality? Well, by pursuing it. I honestly, I don't believe in dreaming. I believe in aspiring. Dreams are what people do when they're asleep and they have no control. Aspiring is what you have control over and what you yourself do.
I love it. Jay, what gives your life meaning?
People, relationships. I mean, like I say, without them, there just isn't anything to life.
What one word best describes you?
Passionate.
What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Learn.
Awesome. What do you wish you had more time to do?
Oh my gosh. Again, I would love to just sit and talk to people. I would love to sit somewhere and just have people come around and just talk and talk and talk.
I love it. I love it. What does your 15-year-old self imagine you'd be doing right now?
None of this, I assure you. At 15, yeah, I thought I would be an electrical engineer sitting behind a desk designing electronics.
Sure. Who inspires you the most, Jerry?
Well, that would be tough. There isn't a single person, because I value people who embrace certain ideals. Mm-hmm. And that way, everyone inspires me. Everyone who embraces that ideal. We're humans, and so we all have failings. And so I don't want to put a person on a pedestal, but I embrace the ideals. And so everyone does and can inspire me and the things that they do.
Great answer. I love it. What's something about yourself, Jerry, that we might be surprised to learn about you?
Well, honestly, yeah, the difficulties I have with relationships. People look at me and think that my life is easy, and they think that because everyone is around me and talking to me and I'm so accessible, they believe that I don't. Again, like you said in the beginning, they believe I have no struggles with relationships and it comes easily. You have no idea the struggles I have every day, because every day is a struggle. Every day is different in the relationships. And so every day I struggle to think, again, am I doing this right? What am I doing? How can I do better?
Awesome. What's something you'll spend your time doing no matter what?
Well, it's rollerblading.
Rollerblading. That's something interesting to know about you. Good. That's good.
Exactly. I know that's a really silly thing, but as a matter of fact, if you don't mind me elaborating on it, I know you want me to be concise, but there's a story here. Okay. So in my last relationship, I love rollerblading and I would go all the time. And so this girl, I introduced her to it. And I was like, come on, let's go. Let's do this. Let's have fun together. Well, after about 6 months, she said, you know what? I'm tired of this. We need to find something else to do. Well, believing the conventional wisdom of, oh, you have to, you know, compromise and you need to make sacrifices and all that, I stopped rollerblading. When we broke up, I had lost a part of me, not just a part of the relationship.
Yeah.
I realized how important rollerblading was to me and how there are some things you don't compromise about yourself.
Sure.
In a relationship, and you have to know what those are. And so for me, it was like, you know, that's a part of me that is so ingrained and so important. I don't mind if you don't come rollerblading with me, but you need to allow me to and support me in my rollerblading. Absolutely. Don't try to stop me from doing it.
Yeah, great story. Great point. I love it. Jerry, what do you want your grandchildren to say about you?
What do I want them to say about me? That he helped people.
Sure. If you were a superhero, what would your superpower be?
Oh my. That's I know I keep going back to relationships, but it would be the ability to really connect with people and help them in their relationships. You know? It's a difficult thing to do, which is why I continue to struggle with it.
Yeah, I love it. Jerry, what sparks your creativity?
People. Yes. I'm amazed at how creative people are and the things that they do and what a vast array of things that people can imagine. And it's just beyond me. And so, it's one of those things where you feed off each other. Other people's creativity sparks mine. I think, oh my gosh, yeah, I could do that. Oh yeah, or let me add to that. And so, yeah, other people's creativity really inspires me in my creativity.
Awesome. Jerry, if you became president today, what law would you pass first?
What law would I pass first today? Honestly, in this country, in the state of affairs, I would say healthcare for everyone, not just physical, mental health, because those are things that relationships have actually shown to affect people's physical and mental health. Mm-hmm. But it's a circular reference to where if you don't have your physical and mental health, you're going to have difficulty getting, building, and maintaining relationships. And so I do see those as going hand in hand. Right. And so people need good health to get good relationships, and they need good relationships to keep that good health.
Yes, I'm sure you get a lot of votes out there, Jerry. What's been the one thing you have never been afraid to do?
talk to people. This was a while ago, but someone looked at me and he said, Jerry, you could be in the desert with no one to be seen for miles around, and within 30 minutes, there'd be someone walking next to you talking to
you. That's what I'm talking about. That's good. I love it. I love it. We share that. We have kindred spirits in that way. I love that. What does success look like for you, Jerry?
Success? Well, actually, right now, success is getting my app to out to people so that they can realize the help that it can be for them. You know, my app, like say, it's aimed to help people in relationships. And so the more people I can get that out to, and the more people who can give me feedback and help me improve it, then I will build a community of people helping each other in relationships. And so, yeah, success would be, although I'm using the app, but it's a community of people helping each other in their relationships. It's not just me.
I love it.
It's the whole community.
Jerry, what are you most grateful for?
Life itself.
Yes. What's been the biggest lesson you have learned in life?
Is do. Don't wait. Yeah. This idea of, you know, there again, you know, sadly, we have this fantasy of dreams will come true. You know, fairy tales can come true. My mother used to sing that Walt Disney song of Jiminy Cricket. Fairy tales can come true. They can happen to you. No, go out and make those things happen. And they're not fairy tales. Yeah. Fairy tales are things you tell yourself that can't happen. I deal in the reality of going out and getting better relationships. I wrote a book, which I never knew I would write. It became a reality because why? Well, because I simply did it.
Yes.
The app, people are stunned. They're like, I don't know anyone who's created an app. There again, I don't know anyone either. And I never anticipated it, but you know what? I saw a need for it. And I said, my gosh, I need to do this. And I'm just going to go do it because no one else will. And I'm not going to wait on anyone else too.
I love it. And Jerry, last but not least, how do you want to be remembered in history?
Well, yeah, just as that guy who built a community of people who changed people's lives and made them better.
Wow. Awesome. Jay, give yourself a round of applause. You survived, my man. Great job.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate this. This was really fun. I did. I really enjoyed that. That really made me think those last, you know, rapid fire questions.
I love it.
That was fun. I
have one more question that I want you to answer for me in the audience before we get ready to wrap things up here, Jerry. Okay. So the focus of our podcast centers on two things.
Yes.
Purpose and resiliency. What last words can you leave our audience with around purpose and resiliency?
Well, there again, you need to be active in finding your purpose. Hmm. And your purpose is to be resilient, because we are all going to have failures. And so that is the funny thing. They're not really you didn't ask two different questions.
Right.
Because your purpose is to be resilient and keep getting up and keep going.
Yes.
It's to find out how you can do that, that makes the best sense for you. And that's your purpose. Get up and go. Keep getting up and keep going.
I love it. So well said. Hey, Jerry Brook, you guys follow Jerry, the relationship guru. Get his book out there. Hey, folks, if you're someone out there and you have an amazing story of overcoming, we want to hear from you. Please go to tawatson.com. Share your story with us. Subscribe to our podcast, Resilient Stories. Download this episode. Rate it. Share with your folks on social media. I want to thank you all for joining us today. And thank Jerry Brook for sharing your story. You are the man. I appreciate you. Everyone else out there, God bless. Peace. And deuces.
Yours truly.
Take care.
Dr. Watson. My scars tell me.